very difficult for each one of us in the human condition to even come close to understanding the blessings that God has for us. Let me also emphasize with you and to you, you're going to receive those blessings. Do you know that God has blessed us when we didn't deserve any kind of blessing at all? I am not deserving of a blessing. It is by the grace of Almighty God that I get blessed. It is by the gift that He gives me and gives you, that gift of faith that we knowingly within our heart understand that God loves me. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Many will push that scripture to the side. And as they push that scripture to the side, what they don't understand is this. Though your enemy is face to face with you, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the great army is standing there. But God is looking on. And when God says you don't touch my people without feeling my wrath, trust me, folks, when I say this to you, read that book called the Bible. Throughout every page of what we call the Old Testament, you will notice that every word that is written together is representing the coming Messiah that would be of what we call the New Testament. When you study the Old, you study the Old to understand God says it's complete, it's old, it's done away with. I bring a new thing to you. Really, Lord? I knew about Jesus. What's the thing? That thing is I'm going to bring within your whole spirit a new way to think. I want you to understand. Read the history of my people. Every time they turned their back on me, they lost. Every time they depended solely on me, they were great conquerors through my power. Now, we are called New Testament Christians. Rightly so. Rightly so. But that did not mean that we should not study the history that got us to the New Testament Christian. We remember so often the love that God has given us during His mercy. We remember, but we don't take it to our heart. Oh yeah, I'll admit, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, isn't that good of you, Christian, to admit it? And you, so many Christians today won't even admit it in church, much less on the street. Let me quote a little bit of scripture here. And I want you to think about this. I want you to tell me who it was that made this statement. My God, why have you forsaken me? Who was that? You're correct, Brother Randy, and you're correct. It's an actual quote from Psalm 22, verse 1. That was King David's statement when Saul's army had surrounded him. And it was King David that cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then you hear the same words from Jesus on the cross. Because those were words of God. God said, let me give you a little history here. How do we take care of a nation if we don't remember our history? So the Lord said, I want you to look back here. It's called the Old Testament. I want you to read this, but I want you to remember, no, none of the laws have anything to do with you. And I know I'm going to hear about this one. Not even the Ten Commandments. Those are moral laws. They're great. No, and your pastor did not say, don't pay any attention to them. I am telling you that the new covenant Jesus Christ gave us is the covenant of the blood. His blood. His blood shed for you and me. Our guilt on him, on that cross. That's the covenant. The new one. What do we mean new? Every prophet starting from Genesis all the way through Malachi in the Old Testament, or the way we have them laid out, prophets spoke of one to come. And like people were saying, that's the Messiah. Oh gosh, now come on, don't do that to me, because, you know, they've been talking about the coming of Jesus forever. Actually, the coming of Jesus has been spoken of since, there couldn't be time, since God. I'm going to get out of this one real quick, because God has no beginning and no end. That's why you and I sometimes, maybe we just get too deep in thought. Why would God love me? Well, I know Brother Randy well. Many of you well. Chelsea, I'm like you. I don't know why he loves you, Brother Randy. Your mother loves you always. The mamas love us. Think of that. Why does God love me? Because God is love. But there's darkness that surrounds us. That darkness that you and I will notice in our life, it starts when we lose someone we love. There's a darkness that overshadows us. And we ask why. We have heard all of our life, the good, only the good die young. Well, that's not exactly correct. But when the good die young, that's the blessing from God. Now you hear me out. To the world, death is final. To the Christian, for one thing, there's no such thing as death. The only thing final in our life is forever and ever eternal. For those who don't know Christ, only thing final in their life is forever, forever, eternal separation from God. Never to hear a good word again. Never to feel good ever again. But God said to us, I want you to look. I want you to look at my son hanging right there. And the nation of Israel mourn. Our memorial, we have two. Baptism. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We remember him through the baptism. We remember him with the Lord's Supper. The body that's broken for me, the blood that's shed for me. Make it individual, folks. God created you as an individual. Do you not think that he's going to love you as an individual? Knows the foolishness you're going to get into before you get into it, or he'll put out many warning signs. But too often we don't pay any attention. But then death comes to what we call the good, or the way the world sees it. Darkness overshadows the family. It is a time of mourning, a time of great pain. King David was such a man. He saw such darkness over a solid 8 years, in many cases all the way up to 10 years. King David was running for his life, from King Saul. David had not been anointed king yet, but God had already set him aside as king. I don't care what man does. I don't care about ordination. I don't care about any of that stuff. You know what makes it different? It's the touch of the Master's hand. God called me to preach. Man didn't. Good gracious, ever since God called me to preach, man's been trying to shut me up. God says, I ordain you for this. Well, I need the approval of man. Do you know not one of you all will be able to stand with me before my God? A journey, do you realize if it weren't for Jesus, I'd have to walk it alone? My family loves me. Do you not think that I wouldn't give everything that I have, my life, my blood, every bit for my family? And my family, immediate and collectively. Wouldn't it be an honor? That's what our men and women in our armed services are ready to do. That's the American family. But God says, I want you to pay attention. Listen to yourself during the dark times. You've been in them, haven't you? You've had to go through them, the hurt, and you think you can never get over it. King David, before being anointed king, cried out many, many times over that 8 to 10 year. Psalm 13 verse 3 reads, answer me, O Lord my God. Give me light in my darkness, lest I die. Lord, I've cried out to you. I need your light in my darkness. God does not condemn me or you for having that dark time in our life. Christian, lost. You will have dark times in your life even if you don't love anybody. Because those who love no one, God still loves, and they will meet him face to face. But no one will stand before God because they cannot. God says, I will give you a voice. David, you know, sometimes I wondered what branch of service David was in. He just kept running. I won't get into that. But think of it. Lord, why do I have to go through this? Have you ever thought about that one? Lord, I come to church every Sunday. Why are you letting this happen to me? For one thing, I'd let it happen to you just for whining about it. Lord, thank you, for it is in your darkness. I know that I will be able to see the light. Listen to God's promise in Isaiah 45:3. Isaiah is the messianic prophet of the Old Testament. Meaning, look back. Look at the focuses he gave to Jesus to come. Listen to what Jesus said, for he quotes. Jesus said, there's nothing new. There's not anything being said that has not already been said. And then Jesus says, I never did speak on my own here. Every word I spoke, my Father gave me to speak. So again, I'll remind you, and this will help us Southern Baptists out. If you got a question about another statement that's going on in Scripture, the Old Testament, or what, get back to the Gospel and read the red parts. Got it? Read the words in red and see what Jesus himself says. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Treasures of darkness. Riches hidden in secret places. So that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Huh? God knows my name. Do you get around people and do you ever forget people's names? Yeah. Always hang out with people smarter than you are. And then tell them to remind you of who it is you're talking to. But the Lord says, I'll never forget you. What my name is in heaven, I haven't the slightest idea. But he knows Larry Pete too. Yep. Why would I not be happy with that? Why would I not witness the voice of Almighty God, the one who loves me? Within an instant, you and I can be gone, traveling somewhere, happy, excited. The next moment, our time has come to leave. And people say, I knew that God would finally kill Larry Vance. And a lot of them got to see me in heaven. But you see, that's what's going on in our nation and in our churches. 900 Southern Baptist churches closing annually. 900 each year. Yeah, well, what about all the new ones? Are you talking about the mom and pop ones? That you got on one corner, you got a dollar store. The next corner, you got Walgreens. And now we're going to put a church on every corner, I guess, and pray to God that somebody gets saved. It's not about us, folks. It's about God's calling for us. But where's the treasure in my darkness? Let me tell you. 2 Samuel 22, verses 12 and 13. It's God himself. God says, I am your treasure. He wrapped himself. Now God is watching what's going on against David. And finally, Saul, his people, and the enemies of God step over a line. That's one line you don't want to step over, folks. That line with God. Listen. He wrapped himself in a trench coat of black rain cloud darkness. But his cloud brightness burst through a grand comet of fireworks. That was the lightning that came down and all. God said, I want you to understand something. When the children and I have touched to seek me, when they seek me, though all the darkness of the world come against them, preachers, prophets, let them know that no matter how dark it looks to them, I am the brightness. I will wrap myself in the darkest rain cloud you've ever seen just to come down to you. And then I will allow my light to shine in your heart, in your hurt, and you will know that it's me, for I'm the treasure of your life. I am my son. My son is me. Me, my son, and Holy Spirit are one. I want you to see me, so I've come down as my son. I've sent my son, born a man. I've sent my son. And did you notice the darkness of his day? Was the darkness turned around on Satan and his angels? Did you notice when it all was falling apart and all my son's disciples, one betrayed him, the others ran for fear? And God said, and you know, I still loved them. Ask them. Jesus came down so you could look that particular generation 2,000 years ago. This is all from the human standpoint you will ever see of God. It's the form of Jesus. Well, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. Normally we got people that raise the dead and do all of the other things. Pay attention to them. Although, in the day ahead of us, God's Word tells us that the false prophets will come out. Many will come claiming that I am the Messiah. And he says, don't believe them. For when I come, everyone will see me at the same time. Don't question that one. Well, that's just impossible. We need to get out of our head and get in our spirit. Sometimes we just think too much. But God said he came down, wrapped, and then in that blank, black rain cloud darkness, his cloud brightness burst through. That's God's brightness. His son. I'm sending you my light. Do you not see your children and love them so much that they light up your life most of the time? You love them, you're afraid for them. Even when they're not smart enough to be afraid for themselves, you're afraid for them. Parents, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Don't hear many testimonies anymore of people that remember when they were lifted up in prayer by their mother. They were lifted up in prayer by their father. The folks that I've dealt with for all these years seldom could even find a family member that they would have been safe with. But it needs to start again. And it needs to start in God's house. Because there's the brightness. And remember this. God's brightness always overshadows evil's darkness. That's why he said, call on me. I will bring peace to your heart. And folks, when we call on him to bring peace to our heart, please don't tell him how you think he ought to do it. Trust him. He says, trust me. Would I not know that God of creation has my best interest at his heart? He gave us proof. Jesus lives in me. And my whole life I will have the battle until I'm out of this filthy body. I will fight the battles between good and evil. And the only reason that I have to fight is because the earthly body and mine happens to think sin is fun. But it's wrapped in darkness. How many times have you said, Lord, get me out of this? Every time it gets us out, we make a promise. The only promise that is in your life you'll never see broken is the promise when Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say, unless you walk away from me. He didn't say that. If it's your child, you love them, don't you? Or you got a big problem, and the biggest problem's with God. Listen to 2 Samuel 22, starting the second part of verse 16 through 18. When God looked down, and listen to what the prophet is talking about King David. Listen to it. God roared in protest. Oh, let loose his hurricane anger. But listen to what David said. But me, he caught. But me, he caught reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy, chaos, the void in which I was drowning. The percentage of you drowning is very slim in water. But many are drowning in their own sorrow and in their own darkness. Folks, we call it mental illness. But I got news for you. Every one of us has a little touch of it. Every time we lose our temper, do you realize that's the first stage to insanity? Think of that one. How many people in your family will let you know you gone then, brother? But God says, when you belong to me, they better not mess with you. God will watch and he will stand back. And as the world says, see, the good died young. Well, they didn't really see. They did not see the power of Almighty God around that good one. They did not see the angels God had sent sometimes to deliver them from catastrophe, other times to take them home, to be with him. That's what this life is about, leaving it. Jesus was born for one reason, to die for me and you. Die for us. That's why he came into the world. Now, if you knew that you're child was coming into the world to die for people that hate him, you think that's going to make you very happy? Let me tell you something else you would not be very happy with. Being able to see your future. Because we can't handle today, can we? What if God showed us the future? Lord, protect me from ever seeing it. And the Lord said, the problems of the day are sufficient. I finally know what that means. I think. For with God's word, the meanings are endless. He said, welcome to freedom. Here's my baby, my child. My mother at 102 still calls me the baby child. These are my children. John the Beloved, the penman of the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he would write to us, and that's what you're looking at, my dear children, had nothing to do with age. But now the Lord says, remember me. We have pushed that memory to the side so many times, like we witness our young men and women who stood for this nation and the freedom pushed aside. Let them die. Same thing was said about Jesus. Let him die. Oh, but let me bring this to your attention. Remember the 2 Samuel 22:16-18? Do you remember something else that took place 3 days after Jesus was in the tomb? Don't you make God come looking for his son. God roared in protest, let loose his hurricane anger. Do you remember the earthquake? Do you remember that the sky turned at midnight? Do you remember that the temple was shaking? Do you remember that the separation from the Holy of Holies to the people, that it was rent, torn from the top down, like God grabbing it, his hurricane anger, but it was in triumph. In all cases, with David. David was then crowned king. The king that was hiding behind the rocks was lifted up by God. And isn't it interesting that God himself said, David is a man after my own heart. Well, you got to read a little background on David. And if you try to use his background in the human condition, you're not going to see too much good there. That's fact. But God said, he's mine. And I will turn that personality. Now you listen to me again. You have an individual personality given to you by God. When you come under conviction and you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, he did not take that away from you. He harnessed it. That's the personality I need right now in this particular generation. But he said, I want you now working for me. You've worked for the devil long enough. Work for me. And I will protect you in all that you do. But me he caught. Remember when he reached down there? Do you remember about a tomb being moved away and the guards at it became as though they were dead men? That's the old English. Well, you know, when you get in the brightness of God, you're not going to be able to stand, and you will lose your mind. He reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of the ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. It's just Jesus closing the book on that. Larry, you don't have to drown anymore. I love you. With all honor, we must speak of Christ. For without him, we are nothing and would have nothing. But with him, we happen to be in a generation that God had blessed, a nation greater than any has ever been recorded, the United States of America. Let's remember those who not only are ready and willing to give, but they do give it. Let's pray. Father, we praise your name for your word. Father, we're so thankful for your love, and Father, for that forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for touching us, for saving us, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Give to us your power, your truth, your ultimate love, and help us, Father, that we will share that love and truth with those around us and those in the lost and dying world. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.